clonable NET site design, and that's Fred F. Sorry, Fred.
Is that right? The website cloning?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
Hi, I'm Fred Alcoholic from the Boston area. My topic is clonable websites, basically using ASP.NET technology. I didn't know I was going to be in the kind of the non-technical session, so I'm hoping that we have some internet here. Is your laptop still connected? Okay. Because my PowerPoint, which will probably be available to everyone after the conference, has all the slides, which are highly technical. But anyway, let me go through this. The overview, these are the things I was going to cover, basically how I got involved in this, some sample sites, look at some of the content pages of the site, some of the management pages of the site, and then if we had time and the internet cooperates, or the World Wide Web, we'll try a cloning demo. By cloning, let me just, qualify. I'm talking about taking a website that you'd like to have and taking, basically duplicating it from something that already exists. In the case of what I've done, it was to have like a default site that you start with and from which you can then deviate. But it was to address some of the issues I found when I started my experience basically about 6-7 years ago. Two groups that I belonged to wanted a website. One was to replace an existing Google Groups site. The other was to have just a new site where meeting information could be publicized. And the district I got involved with had an activities committee that had done their own website. The rest of the district wasn't participating, and the district committee felt the site should be more encompassing. So I was on the committee and got involved in revamping that website to be more broad. So the first thing I did was look at those GSO guidelines, which we all have. I became very familiar with them, browsed the web to look at what had been done elsewhere. I mean, that's kind of the base of, look at what's come before. And then I talked with a lot of people who had some experience in doing web-related development in AA within my local area. And there have been some, in Massachusetts, it's an odd, in places, from my experience, looking at what other people are doing in other parts of the country, they're way more progressive or willing to embrace technology than Boston. But nonetheless, the desire to have a web presence was there. It was just a question of, making it fit what people wanted. So after my looking around, I came to the conclusion there's a lot of duplication of effort. If you want a website, you're going to have to either find a package. You're going to have to do it all. I mean, the guidelines are pretty clear about this. You're going to get a domain. You're going to register it. You're going to find a hosting, an ISP. You're going to contract with them. You're going to either get a package or you're going to build it from the ground up. And you'll have some guidelines to help you not stray from what is suggested. But you're kind of on your own. And there are certain clear barriers here in terms of the skills that you're going to need, the costs, and the amount of work you're going to have to put in to do all this. On top of that, you're looking at a moving target when it comes to any technology, but let alone internet technology. It's just mind-boggling how quickly things are changing. You layer that on top of AA's issues with service rotation, where you're trying to rotate people in and out of positions, you're trying to abide by, autonomy and anonymity and all the restraints that we operate under. And then within my own area of work, an AA group doesn't have the same requirements of a website that an area, an inner group, or a district does. It's just the meeting list functionalities often lands on the inner group. The committee work is often done in the area. And most home groups just want kind of a welcome page to support newcomers or the people regularly attending the meeting. So what I ended up coming up with is this cloning architecture, which is basically, I did it just to see whether you could do it. Software I've developed is used, it takes away the requirements to register your own domain, to have your own, to create another email account, although you could do that. A group could have their own email. The hosting requirements and the IT skills wouldn't be present. The plumbing of the site, which is what most of my talk concerns, addresses the issues of public access, a member access, and the need for somebody or some group to administer the site in a way that protects people's privacy but provides access. One of the things that I found in many of the designs is that you have to go through one person to update something. A trusted servant, in my view, should have full control on the website to anything they would have on paper or in any other form that they'd be working. And the elements of the site, there's a lot of canned content. I found the 12 steps, the preamble, a lot of sites, Declaration of Unity. It's pretty common. So some of that content can be canned, but then there's a requirement for everybody to want to put up user-specific content. And then the calendar and meeting lists, as I said, those are fairly common, particularly in the larger groups and sites. But those are those have to be provided for, and the site itself has to reflect group conscience. And I've worked with several groups, some of whom really don't want a lot up there, and other groups who want more. So the site needs to reflect what the group wants to be in keeping with the traditions. So here are. Oh, I see, the screen resolution. Sorry for the wrapping. I wasn't used to this screen resolution. So I registered, before I got involved with the district, I registered an aagroupsite.info domain. So you just learned what a domain is. And the way these sites coexist is as subdomains under aagroupsite.info. So these addresses, let's go to the first one, Bolton Big Book Step Study Group's website. The address is boltonbbss.aagroupsite.info. It's basically static splash image with some navigation on the left, a calendar control, and a little panel for news where we post our monthly commitment to the treatment hospital. The Stowe Sunday group is another group. This is the one that was a Google group site. It is a speaker meeting where speakers go to other groups and speak, and then speakers from other groups come into our group and speak on a monthly basis. So on Sunday morning, we'll have different towns in the area coming in to put on their meeting. And on the outgoing, we go back to those groups and speak at their meetings. So there was a calendar of these commitments that are every week being juggled. And this page is very similar. It has the same static. I've included some canned step of the month, tradition of the month information at the bottom, and there's a footer. The Harvard Happy, Joyous, and Free group reads from the daily reflections. They didn't really want much more than to have the daily reflection for whatever date. And to basically provide address information for where and timing for when the meeting is and where it meets. So, and then I belong to a men's group that for most of its history, it's been around for about 30 years, chose not to be listed, didn't move around like that other guy's meeting, but it was it was a dark group. And 2 years ago, they decided they would join the ranks of the listed groups. And we put up a page that it's the Royal Mystic Order of the Knights of Serenity. It's the name of the group. There is actually a knight in armor outside the hall, a statue of some sort. But this is all the page does is announce that it's a men's group that meets on Saturday morning at this address. So at the district level, I've done work with District 26 and District 24. They're both in Massachusetts, and they both belong to Area 30. And then I did something for Narasa, but that was really on my own to try something out. I'll show you later. Let me go back. So the District 26 site has a header which copies a lot of the elements that are on the area website, basically the logo of AA, a map of Massachusetts with the area District 26 highlighted, and then a blow-up of that. And those towns you can click on, they're all hotspots. Will take you to pages for meetings about in those areas. Most of what's on the homepage is information that the Activities Committee wants to promote. There's a whale-watching cruise that occurred, and so we put that up. District 24, the other district that I these two, aaemassd24.org is a separate web hosting domain from the District 26. They did not want to commingle, so they both have their own hosting accounts. It's fine. It's the same same body of code in both places. Again, they have roughly the same format. It's only tailored to the towns that belong to District 24. This is the NARASA website. I copied the official NARASA website to see whether or not it could be made a little bit more robust. And the buttons along the top match the buttons on the official NARASA site. They bring up the same content. I only have done this primarily as a proof of concept. This is not publicly available or promoted. But it also includes information that currently is not available, which, for example, all the area websites are hot linked to the map that they show on the page. So if you clicked on the state of Maine, you would go to the Area 28 website. The DC Area 13 would come up if you clicked on that. So let me go over. So the content pages of the site, which is, there are several more than what I'm showing here, but I think it's, you'll get the idea by just covering these four. Basically a home page, a calendar page, a meetings page, and a news page. They all have a name which ends with ASPX, and that's what identifies it as an active in ASP.NET type of page. And all ASP.NET does as a technology, it's Microsoft's website technology for separating out, the ASP stands for Active Server Pages. And what it does is generate content that is largely stored in databases and puts it out on a page that it builds and presents to the client in their browser. It uses code that stays on the server that controls all this. Most of everything that's in the browser is just the end result of what's been done on the server side. So it has a way of persisting information you need to keep track of stuff, session-related information, without relying on the client to do as much work. It also segregates, we can get into this later, the content of the page and the look of the page are handled by two different kinds of controls. So the way these pages know what group, so these same pages are at every website that would use this software. The only thing that identifies one group from another is a group ID, a string that you pass to the page to tell it this is the home page for this particular group. And so this is a kind of a simplified version, but when you bring up the homepage and it's, say, for aadistrict26.org, it for this domain or this website, it's going to go and look up aadistrict26.org. It's going to find out what has this person defined for what they want in terms of the layout of the site. It's then going to go and look at resources. These are menus, news items, images, or content that you want put on that page. And it's going to go and build it and put it in front of you by looking at those definitions. And as I mentioned before, so the homepage components, what you don't see is there's a template. And I know WordPress and a lot of other packages use these. They're a common way of simplifying how do you lay out information on a page. In .NET, it's up to the developer to create these templates. I created one that more or less served my purposes, which was really just a proof of concept. I'm not trying to be a graphic designer, and I think my websites attest to that. But they could be made a lot more polished using CSS or whatever to render much more graphically aesthetic elements. The header or footer appear, that's a common element on almost any public published newspaper or web page. The left navigation menu is something most sites do have some sort of navigation. I just chose a left navigation bar as opposed to a top running bar. You could do it both ways. The left navigation menu does orient itself for mobile devices, but I have not, and the whole site is capable of reconfiguring itself for mobile. I haven't spent a lot of time with that, but generally things run much more vertically in a mobile browser. The nav menu will support submenus where a menu item will bring you to yet another menu, basically. And the other elements, the splash or canned content and the calendar panel are the other elements that you'd find on a homepage. So here's, again, the Bolton Big Book homepage. Showing somebody has clicked on September 7th, which was 2 days ago, and it brings up a little window showing that meeting is being chaired by Scott. We're reading step 3 out of the big book, and there's a link. If you look at the very bottom, if you can see it, it's basically a link to AA.org, to their chapter 5 of the big book, which, because we read out of the big book, we have big books, but if you don't happen to have one, you can get on your phone and actually bring up the reading that way from the website. All right. The other big page that a lot of sites have are calendars. I know in our area, in Intergroups, they've outsourced this to Brown Bear, a company that does just calendars. I think it's a free or relatively free piece of software. I decided to... the problem with that is that all the data that feeds the calendar then gets put up on their site. You know, and I had done some calendar work before, so I just ground this out of code. But basically, it's a bunch of events that you're displaying in a format that looks like a calendar, and you can add color to distinguish different types of events, and then you've got to add some controls for the calendar itself. As far as adding events to the calendar, the idea is to make it as simple as possible to put up an event. And so this menu, I've reduced it to what I consider the bare minimum, which is you have dates and times. You have a type of event, which is for each group, it can be, this drop-down can be reset, but a meeting, an anniversary, an alkathon, that sort of thing, a business meeting. The name of the event. If there's an address you want, I've resorted to using Google Maps. So if you put in a street address or any address that Google Maps will recognize, whatever you put in there will go to Google Maps. I've looked at the Meeting Finder and these other sites that use some sort of geolocation stuff, and that's another option. But I wasn't interested in a solution of that to that level. And then the description of the event, as you can see, there's some HTML in here. And the link to the big book is, if you want that to show up in the little blurb in the calendar, you've got to put a link in the description, but it'll faithfully show that as an HTML link if you so code it. But the page, again, is built by going, when you go to the eventcalendar.aspx page for a particular group, it's going to go and look at what you've specified for that group in terms of events for the time frame that you're looking at, whether it's a month or a week, and it'll pull those out of the database. This is probably way more detail than you really need or want, but events can be public or private. The person accessing the calendar, if they're the bookie, which we call the person who has responsibility for booking events, they need to have update access. The public for public events should have read access, and members should be able to see both public and private events. And if the group so wishes, they should provide update privileges to anybody within the group that they want to. And the page supports all that. NARASA, this is the equivalent of PRASA. It's a three-day event every year at the same time. In my view, this was, I look at this as an event calendar, but it's really more of a day planner. And what I did was I combined the meeting list with the calendar. So what you really have is a bunch of meetings that are rendered in a calendar type form or a reduced calendar format. So you only get the days that the event occurs, but then you get time slots that are dynamically built based on when the slots, when there's an event defined, and it will populate this thing. If you click on one of these events, it'll bring up whatever you've defined as the blurb for that event, but it's basically for NARASA and some other. We do a state convention. I mean, we have these events like this event where you have several meetings that are occurring simultaneously in a fixed set of locations. So a calendar of this format to be online needs to accommodate this sort of structure. The meeting page, which everyone who's gone online to look for meetings, this should look fairly similar. It's basically a grid. You can filter, look for meetings based on a town, a day, a type of meeting code. And then the addresses in the grid are clickable to Google Maps. This shows the same page. If you were logged in as with privileges, now it includes, let's see if I can show it. Well, it includes a button to add a meeting, a link, so that you can add a new meeting to the grid. It also includes buttons on the right or links on the right to either delist a meeting or edit what's specified in the meeting, either the start time, the code, where the meeting is. Again, adding a meeting, I kept this as simple as I could imagine. Basically, the thing you need to know about a meeting is what day it meets, where it meets, including the building, street address, when it starts, when it ends, and meeting codes. Now, meeting codes vary. I've noted between, it's usually the same in the same district, but even within an area, I've seen different meeting codes used. So the meeting database, the tables that support the meetings, you need something that, if you notice in these tables, in every one of these tables is a group ID. So that's how the system knows what group to pull the data for, is your group number. I'd originally tied it to GSO numbers and then decided that was a really bad idea. So it's just an internal number. But and nonetheless, any group, there is a default set of meeting codes. But if the group so chooses, it can define its own codes, in which case it would show a code that was specific to that group or district or area, whatever entity is rendering the meeting list. The same data that's in that meetings table, I did this thing for the districts where these maps are clickable. So you have a map of part of the state. You can click on it. It'll bring up all the meetings that are in that town. It's pulling the same data from the meeting list tables, but just showing it on a different kind of page, because this is now more oriented to people who are specifically looking for a meeting in a particular town. You'll notice that some of these meetings have underlined, those imply that there's, if you click on them, they have websites. And the news page is a, basically, most groups want to publicize some events. So there's a page that would let you do it. Regarding flyers, you can always scan the flyer, turn it into an image, and that will dispense with all this metadata stuff that people seem to be concerned about. I also reduce them into small thumbnail size images so that you can actually click on these thumbnails. It'll take you to the full size. But oftentimes, you get most of what you need in a smaller footprint. And I think it looks better as a news blurb. The news page, like all the other pages, goes to a database, pulls the group ID, and then for news items, you have a date that the news event occurs. If you want them listed in date order, you want a date that they expire and a date that you turn them on. If you've loaded these things 6 months in advance, you may not want that news item showing up on your homepage until 3 months beforehand. So you set those in terms of, and that controls news appearing on the page and disappearing on the page without having to do anything once you've added it. All right, so now I'm done with the content pages that I'm going to cover. So this is site management, and this gets to the heart of how these websites are set up and how they're populated with content. There are some other management pages I may or may not cover, depending on time. So group site setup. This is a single page. It contains three forms. It's to request a website, or once you've requested the website, it would show you what you've asked for or what you've got in terms of your website definitions. You have basically contact information that you would need to provide for the group. The group information dealing with where it meets, when it meets, what kind of group it is, and then the website itself, what kind of website this group wants. For contact information, the only requirement, the field that's required on the form is an email address. Everything else is optional. But you have to have a way of reaching back out to the person submitting the form. The group information, you're basically just asking for the name, an acronym. Now, this will be the keyword or the term, NAATW, that you would put in front of this domain. So that would be the term that people would use to access the web address. If you know the GSO number, area, district, you can plug that in, the location. And then if the meeting, you can specify multiple days of the week. If some groups meet multiple times on multiple days, you would get the meeting set up, and then you could go in there and change the dates or add additional meetings per day. And then there are codes that, again, a lot of groups have these codes that use to describe what kind of meeting, open, closed, men, women, speaker discussion. Now, the website itself, you could have more, but this is the group of elements that I came up with. It's not a complete list, but it does a pretty good job. A banner, a footer, a left navigation menu, a splash image. If you want to log in, a link to log in. If you want a profile where a member could add their own information, that kind of goes with the login. News, calendar, contacts, resources. And all of those pages can be private or public. If you decide to hide them behind a login, they won't appear in the menu when a public person just accesses the site. And then you check off the pages as well. Some of these are menu items. Some of them are just pages that you want the website to support. And again, all of these elements will be cloned from an existing repository, and then you would presumably go and tweak them for your particular group. Once you fill out these forms, I cobbled together the table, of all the fields that are basically configured or populated with data by basing on what you did on those form fields. The group site resource table, this is where you actually define the specific, if you said you wanted a left navigation menu, this is where you have to tell it what's in the menu. And what I'm showing you are the, when you pick them from the setup screen, they'll automatically appear there. After they appear there, one of the things that, let's go to this page. One of the things you're going to want to do is have them appear in a certain order, just aesthetically. And you may want to change the label that appears in the menu. Oh, that's my meeting. I'm at 30 minutes, I believe. Once you've got these, you've selected what you want in your menu, you're going to want to go in there and maybe change the order they appear and the kinds of keyword terms that are used. You'll see here that AA Resources is actually a submenu, and when you click on it, it brings up yet another menu. It overlays it with this other menu that has Meeting Finder, Big Book Online, the pamphlets, and that actually takes you to AA.org. But and then if you log in, I've shown there's a management menu that will allow you to, if you have administrator privileges, you get a set of menu options that are specifically for administering the site. And these are the entries in the resource table. I've filtered it by type of item. If it's the left navigation menu, these are the items that you see in the menu. And for the submenu, AA Resources, these are the things, this is how it handles a submenu, rendering and controlling that submenu by entries in this table. And they're all, the path name points to the page that would come up if you click on that menu item. Hosting considerations, basically, this technology I use requires that you run a Windows server. You need two SQL Server databases, one for membership, which is encrypted, and the other one for all the group information. You're going to want FTP or some sort of support for people to upload files. These are not user files. These are actual system files and email support. I went with GoDaddy. It's $130 a year. It supports over 100 email accounts with two SQL Server databases. I think you get 100 MySQL databases. You can coexist on a single account, WordPress, Drupal, Joomla, .NET, Website Builder. They can all reside under the same single account. But there are other options available for hosting. And I don't know that we have time for, do we have time to do a demo or? All right, how do I get out of this?
Let me see.
Oh, there we go. Well, hold on. I seem to be muddling my way through. Okay. Let's see if I can. Okay, so. All right. This is the District 24 website that I just showed you in the slides. As I mentioned, these are all clickable links. If you clicked on one, they would bring up, I'll just click on one, they'd bring up the page for that town. And so let me go to the thing that I just talked about. Group. I said I could do this in 2 minutes, maybe one. So if I go to this page and I take away the group information, so it's I'm going to the page without any group specifically specified, it brings up, it knows that I want to set up a new website. So as I said, the only field that is required is email address, aagroupsite.info. I could type in my name if I wanted to. And then, I'll leave the rest of this blank. Let's see, how do I, here we go. I don't even need, I defaulted to Massachusetts because all the stuff I do is in Massachusetts. I don't think any of this other stuff is needed for this kind of thing. If I wanted a splash, top banner, left nav, I'm just going to select some stuff here. having trouble with this mouse. Public news calendar, contacts, and it's just a homepage calendar. About us. So these are the pages that I'm saying I want for my website. You can go back in later if you make change your mind about anything. The preamble, the traditions, we'll definitely show those. 12 steps, 12 concepts, context page. All right. Say that's enough. So it brings up a form which basically just shows you what you just selected. And you can go back if you think you missed something or don't like what you've done. And then you submit that. So it's taken what you've put in the form, put them in the database. Now, what you've got initially is what, oops. Oh, wait a minute, something's, oh, I see. Why did it do that? Wait a minute. For some reason. Let me see. There. All right. For some reason, it popped put something else up there. This is the site I just did. It uses a default splash, a default header. It puts those things that you asked for in the menu on the left. It's the demo calendar for the group I just created. And it's got this little calendar control. So, again, it takes you to the same page. But you don't have to get involved in any of the gory setup stuff. So that's it.
Okay, thank you, Fred. You almost make me want to go try and build a web page now. So thank you. And real quick, we can probably go a couple minutes longer if anyone had any questions real quick for Fred. You can go to the mic. Okay, so we're going to conclude this session. Thank you again, everyone, and we'll start again in 15 minutes. So we'll switch over for the new presentation. Thank you.